pencils for keeping notes. We encourage you to do that. But let's all make sure we have a Bible. Again, you need a Bible? Keep it. Free. No charge, of course. Take it. Use it. Wear it out. Pass it on to somebody. Whatever the need might be. Probably many of you are aware of the fact that we have the privilege here of being a part of a work over just outside of Nairobi in Kenya. If you've been here a while, you've actually been here when Pastor Stephen has been here before to share with us, and so we're blessed to have him here again. But by way of introduction, let me just explain this. I really can't go into all that he has shared and all that God's doing over there. We want to leave him some time to share God's word with us, so I don't want to take up all his time right now. But I would like to give you a little bit of a context for Stephen and his wife Beatrice and again, the work going on over there. Stephen is the pastor of a fellowship over there, Harvesters Christian Church is the name of the fellowship. It's right on the outskirts of Nairobi there. Umoja is where they are located. Along with the church itself, they are in the process of building a kind of resource training center. See, what happens is not only is Stephen the pastor of that fellowship there, a really neat active fellowship, but also he oversees and mentors a number of other pastors, not just in Kenya, but in surrounding countries. And they often come into the church there for training and all. And they need a place to stay. And so there's some places to sleep there in this training center. There's some kitchen and all. But a lot of guys. I mean, this is no small ministry. I think Stephen was saying there's like, they haven't recently, were 700 pastors, 700 men, pastors came in from neighboring countries. That's a lot. That's a neat work that God's doing there. So there's the church and all that goes with that. There's the training and overseeing of these pastors and the encouragement for them and all. But they also have a work there called Morning Star Children's Home. You should have in your bulletin this morning a pamphlet about that work. What it is an orphanage. Now, it was about... I've had the privilege of being over there with Stephen and Beatrice and the church there. Kathy went on this last trip, as well as a number of you from the church here. And God, about 3 years ago or so, maybe a little more, God began God put upon Stephen and those there a vision for an orphanage, a home to minister to the children over there, because there's some rough conditions there. Well, God has blessed that and brought it to fruition. It's called Morning Star Children's Home. And what a great ministry. And so we have the privilege of also being a part of that ministry also. So when you support here, part of the funds go to help that work over there. But we put the brochure in there, the pamphlet in your bulletin this morning for a couple of reasons. Number one, that it might prompt you to pray for the work over there. God is doing this work. We want to make sure and keep praying towards that end. And so let it remind you of that. Also, you notice there's some contact information there for some reason, like to contact them for any reason. But also, of course, I'm sure they'd always be welcome to hear from you. And also, if you feel led to support them in any way, in other words, financially. Just like everywhere, prices are going through the roof. They were telling me how the prices have really increased to help feed the children and all there. And so to pray for them, be aware of them, contact them, support them, whatever. We've given this to you so you can see that you're part of an awesome work over there. This country, Kenya, has recently been through some really rough things. They, as you know, many of you follow the news, recently went through some real times where there's a lot of tribal uprising and people killed, homes and churches burned. Stephen and Beatrice and the fellowship there ministered, had to hide some people. Just some really rough things going on over there. From all that uprising, they had 8 more children. The government came and brought 8 more children to the orphanage to help take care of. And again, all these stories, I don't have time to go into all of them, but they would break your heart. One girl, 14-year-old girl, saw both her parents killed, and it caused such a trauma that her memory basically traumatized her. She couldn't remember and had to really start back with the basics and all. I'm just saying that as an example of just these children. That whole country has been through some rough things. We don't know. We don't know that kind. Right now, to us, you know, the stock market goes down and we go, oh, well, you know what? We haven't seen anything yet. And chances are times are going to get, well, we're going to see more and more happening in these last days. And right now, though, they're seeing a lot of rough things over there. And this is the work going on in the midst of that. So for Stephen, for Beatrice, for the fellowship there, for the pastors that are getting taught and trained in their fellowships, for the orphanage, all the ones working there. No shortage of things to pray for and support. And if you'd like to know more about how you can even maybe help a particular child over there or anything, you let Stephen know or contact them. What's that? I'm sorry, what? It's in Nairobi, Kenya. It's right outside. It's out of town a ways there. Yeah. Yeah. Kenya is in the east coast, central east coast of Africa. Pardon? Well, you know what? Afterwards, why don't you touch base with me or with Stephen, and we'll show you, get information about that. Okay? Great, great. Meanwhile, make sure to be praying about it. Stephen, why don't you come on up front here before you come to share? We want to say a word of prayer for you. Come on up, Stephen. What's that? Okay. Okie dokie. Okay. We're going to pray for Stephen now. Typically, I maybe might wait to the end of our time together to pray for Stephen, but knowing that we want to make sure and leave the end of our time this morning for God to move and touch and have us leave here thinking about what God's about to show us, not anything else, I'd like to pray for him right now. And so would you just take a moment and agree with me as we lift Stephen and Beatrice and the work up over there, lift it up to the Lord in prayer. Father, be it here, be it halfway around the world there in Kenya, indeed, you're working throughout the world, and how we thank you for that, because you so love the world that you sent your son to die, sent your son to give eternal life for each one who will receive, that no one would perish, but that all would receive and live. Thank you for that. In your mercy and your grace, Lord, we sit here for all who received, we sit here forgiven. We sit here heaven bound, and Lord, we don't want the message to stop with us. So Lord, we're praying, use us, and we pray you'll continue to use Stephen and Beatrice, harvesters, the work there at Morningstar, just through everything going on over there. We're praying for your continued anointing and work through them, Lord. Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you have done, are doing, are yet to do there, Lord. Lord, we pray for the pastors that are being trained there and their families. We pray for the churches all represented there, that they'll be strong in you and in your word. It'll be your word going forth from every pulpit. Lord, all the things that Stephen and Beatrice have on their plate, Lord, help them always daily just to give it to you, Lord. Strengthen and encourage and minister to them as well as through them, Lord, for their fellowship and for the orphanage, Lord. We think of the children. We think of the workers there. How we pray, Lord, for your continued healing. We think of all they've been through, Lord. We pray for your healing. We pray those children will grow up knowing how much you love them, that they'll grow up knowing your plans and purposes for them. Lord, we count it such a privilege to be able to pray for them and be a part of that work, Lord. But we desire, just as them, that you would get all the glory. So, Lord, we do. We lift Stephen, Beatrice, the whole work to you now. Now, Lord, thank you for bringing Stephen to share with us. Lord, I know your hand's upon him. You've given him this message. Now prepare our hearts. Help us receive what you are about to share and do in us. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless, guy. God bless you.
Good morning. Jambo. Jambo is Swahili greetings, says how are you. It's nice to see each one of you this morning, although you all look alike to me. But it's nice to see everybody this morning, and I'm so happy to come back again and to see you moving. I believe that it's wonderful that God can give us another chance to be together. We love you so much. We pray for you when we are in Africa, and we know that also you pray for us. I want to thank you so much for the time you took to pray for us when we went through tough time. We had some elections sometime this year, and many things happened. There was war in Kenya. Many people died, as the pastor said. I remember staying in my house for weeks without coming out of the house. But all of this, God took care of us. I also want to thank you so much for the big support you give to us, for our children in Kenya. And as the pastor said, we are believing God to be able to build them a home. And God bless you for that work, and we love you so much. Amen. Amen. I have also brought my wife with me. Her name is Beatrice. She can stand and just wave to you. God has blessed us with many kids. We have 4 children, and they are 28, 26, 24, and 22. 2 boys and 2 girls. And our first daughter is married. We are blessed. God is so good. And today I have a brother from Kenya who has come to be with me. He lives somewhere, I don't know where, but I just gave him a call, and here he is. Stand, my brother. His name is James. You live where?
Carl Mesa.
Carl Mesa. Wow. And another sister there called Priscilla. Priscilla, can you stand and wave to the people? Ah. And another one there. Another one. Uh-huh. Yes. Kenya is in the house. Okay, right now, let's hear the word of God. Let us all stand and lead God's word together. We want to go to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 33. We want to read from verse 1 to verse 11. The book of Ezekiel. This church is a good church. People are getting free Bibles. So everybody must have a Bible. So open your Bible in Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 1 to verse 30 to verse 11. And if you are there, we can read together. I'm getting old. It's my first day to use these eyeglasses. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land and people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own hand. He heard the sound of the trumpet but did not take warning, his blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning shall save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Therefore you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sin lie upon us and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? Let's pray together. Father, we come before you this morning. As we hear your word, may the clarity of your word come to our hearts. Holy Spirit, minister to each one of us today. Lord, we know that when you are present, everything is different. And this is why we pray that your presence may be in the house. Touch each one of us by your grace. Reveal Jesus to our hearts today. We know, Lord, if we come to this house and we do not feel your presence, we have come in vain. And this is why we pray today, Lord. May you move by your Spirit and speak louder to the hearts of the people. Lord, as we get out of this place, we want to go home praising and exhorting you because we have seen your presence. We thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Oh, we say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's get seated. Church, my word this morning, I believe God is speaking to us clearly that we are living in the last days, the days of evil, the days where there's nothing good in the world today. And I believe that God is bringing a clear voice that Jesus is coming soon. And this is the time for every believer to get ready. Get ready for the return of Christ. I'm not saying he's coming tomorrow, but he's coming. All the signs of time has come to pass. And this is why when I read the words of the prophet Ezekiel, he's talking about blowing the trumpet. He's talking about God raising a watchman to blow the trumpet to warn his people, to tell the people about the time we are living. And when I see scripture after scripture, we can read so many scriptures, verses. We can read Isaiah, we can read Jeremiah. God is speaking one thing about the last days and how the watchman is in the house to blow the trumpet and to remind the church about the days today. And my work this morning is to blow the trumpet. I wish I had a trumpet, I could blow it now. And I pray that everybody in the house will hear the voice of God. God wants to prepare our hearts for the return of His Son. If you see what is happening in the world of today, you will prepare your heart for the return of Christ. And I want to tell you that God's word never changes. What God says, He means it. And we cannot, our truth is in the word of God. This is God speaking. And I want to tell you this morning that many things are going to be shaken. As we have seen, shakeups have started. America already is a big country, but it's shaken. Look at your economy, politics, everything is different. Things are shaken. You don't even know what happens 2-3 years coming. And that's why we as believers, we need to read the signs of time. And we as believers, as the church of Jesus, it is time to put our feet on the ground. As believers, though things are changing, it's time for the church to wake up. It's not time for the church to be comfortable. Comfortable life is gone. This is the time for the believer, the church of Christ, to wake up and to understand that we need to defend the truth. As Christians, we cannot compromise the gospel. The gospel has been compromised. There has been a lot of comfortable gospels. Gospels that brings goosebumps. Gospels that makes people happy. But I don't believe it's time to feel happy in the flesh. This is a time that one needs to be prepared in his heart. And this is why I want to remind you. I know that Pastor Dale is a good teacher. He teaches the word of God. And I want to remind you again. You know, sometimes you can get used with your pastor. Every Sunday he's there. Every Wednesday he's there. Every Monday. Now I have come from Africa, thousands of miles, to remind you that this is the time for the believers to wake up. It's time to understand that Things are going to be tough in the days that we are living. We do not have time to waste. And that's why Ezekiel is saying, if you hear things coming to the land and you don't blow the trumpet, the blood of those people will be upon you. I don't want the blood of America to be upon me. This is why I'm blowing the trumpet. America has to hear the gospel. This is the time where the signs of end times are clear. And Jesus is preparing a powerful church. A holy church. A holy people. People that are not going to move with the flow. But people that are going to stand for the truth. Not only believing. People that are ready even to give their lives for their faith. When we see men of God in the Bible that we call heroes of faith, their times was not just hallelujah. They were persecuted. They were rejected. They were beaten. But they stood for the faith. They never compromised. But today, the church of today has compromised with the world. We see that the world is living in the church. But remember, the church was sent to the world. And this is why, my brothers and sisters, this is a very, very important time for us to get ready to keep our hearts right, established, strong in the Word of God. Are you here this morning? Are you here this morning? Even if you don't say amen, other times say today. Talk to me. Can you say amen? I'm blowing the trumpet this morning. And I want to remind you that there's a voice of God. There's a cry of the Holy Spirit. God is speaking. There's a voice that is telling us to get ready. In the word of the book of Revelation chapter 2, verse 11, the word of God says, those that has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. There is a voice of the Spirit speaking to the church of today. And I believe this is the time where God is preparing a strong people. A people that cannot compromise the truth. Today the church is very comfortable. Because there are many gospels that makes us happy. You know, there are many teachings that we are not supposed to suffer. There are many teachings that we are supposed to prosper. There are many teachings that we are the sons of the kid, of the king. There are many simple teachings. And Paul is calling them other gospels. Paul is speaking to the church of Galatians. And he says, why don't we go quicker to the book of Galatians? I am not in a hurry today. The book of Galatians, I want to show you something. Jeff, do you have a Bible this morning? Uh-huh. Can you read? Yes, I needed you to wake up, brother. Can you read verse? I want us to hear what Paul is speaking to the church of Galatians when he saw them changing from the true faith. Can you read, brother? Yes. Galatians 1 and verse 6.
Galatians 1:6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you with the grace of Christ to a different gospel.
I do what?
I marvel.
I do what?
I marvel.
Huh? Do you have another? I marvel. And then there's another translation. Yeah? Huh? I am amazed. Another one? I am astonished. Another one? I am shocked. Paul is shocked by the church of Galatians. Because Paul preached the gospel to that church. The gospel of grace. But now the church was leaving grace to another comfortable life. And I believe the church of today, if we can write a book I promise you, we can like Paul, I marvel that you are so soon drifting away from the one who called you by the grace of Christ to a different gospel. The word is different. Not the gospel that has power to change the life of men. Not the gospel that has power to change our characters. Not the gospel that has power to change our marriage. No wonder we have a lot of divorce. No wonder we have a lot of fightings and enmity, gossip everywhere. Because we do not listen or receive the true gospel. But Paul is now telling the church, I marvel. And I believe today God is calling the church. When I talk about the church, I'm not talking about the church of El Cajon. I'm talking about the universal church. The global church. God is speaking to the global church. The church needs to go back to the preaching of the cross. The church needs to go back to the truth. Those who got born again many years ago, they will believe with me there was God's fear in the house. The presence of God was in the house. Sin had no power in the house. Everybody who walked in the church, he knew he have come that his flesh be confronted. Everybody who walked in the house, he knew he have come to hear the voice of God. Nobody came to the church to be entertained. Nobody came to the church to feel good. But everybody came to the church that the flesh be confronted. There was the power of the gospel. And now Paul is saying, I marvel that you are leaving that gospel to a different gospel. And this is why God is calling the church to go back to the true teachings of the Bible. The true teachings of the Word of God. Are you here this morning? You look very serious. We need to go back to the true teachings of God's word. We need church as a church. We need, God is calling us. And this is why my word this morning is blowing the trumpet. I am blowing the trumpet. I am reminding you. You may have read, you may have known, but God wants to remind you by the Spirit. God wants to make you remember that we need to get ready for the return of Christ. You better leave alone. Just leave her alone. Just leave her alone. I'm excited this morning, church, because I can feel God is speaking to our hearts. I can feel it's a time of preparation. That's why the prophet is speaking clearly, blow the trumpet. And if you read Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1, quickly, Isaiah 58, verse 1, let's just read that verse 1. Jeff, where are you? Isaiah 58, verse 1. Or maybe whoever have got it, you can start and read. Let's work together. Yes? What did you say, man?
Shout it aloud.
Can you stand and read? Shout. Yes?
Shout it aloud. Do not hold back.
Uh-huh.
Raise your voice like a trumpet.
Yes? Shout. The word is shout round. Cry loud. Spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people. That's what the prophet is saying. This is not a time to keep quiet. It's a time to speak loud. God is looking for men and women to speak loud the truth. Do you know church through the pains? Do you know truth is not accepted many times? Do you know the flesh wants to feel good? Huh? Do you know that's why if I can change my preaching and start talking good things, I will see people starting doing like this. Because the flesh wants to feel good. That's why, Because people want to fill their churches with people, they dilute the gospel. You know, it's easy to preach these things. You're going to be blessed. Give 20, you'll get 40. Give 100, you'll get 200. There's a lot of stabs going on. It's easy. That's why you hear people have thousands and thousands of people in churches. But I want to tell you, we better be 20, but going somewhere, than being 200 and going nowhere. The issue is not the number. The issue is the people that are ready. People that are getting prepared. People that are giving their lives. You know, Jesus spent 3 years preparing 12 men. 3 years. He gave his life to 12 men. Every day, teaching them the word. Spending time with them. Preparing them. Because he knew, after his departure, he knew they were to be tested. And in fact, even sometime, he also tested them. Many other times, he could put them in a boat and he could sleep. And he could allow the storms to come. And they were shaken. And they started shouting and yelling in the boat. And Jesus was there. And when he wakes up, he rebukes them. Hey, you have little faith. And I believe some of us, we have very, very little faith. Some of us, we are not ready to suffer for Christ. Some of us, we are not ready to defend the truth. We compromise. We hear things talked by people against the word of God, and we are not ready to rise up and blow the trumpet. But this is the time. God is looking for men and women who are ready not to compromise, but to stand. If it's to die, let me die. If I die for the truth, hallelujah. If I suffer for the truth, hallelujah. You must be ready. Your life must be given. And this is why God is calling us to go back to that powerful gospel that has power to establish our lives. Not the wisdom of men. You know, if we can go back to the same book of Galatians, I want to show you something. Paul speaks clearly about what he was teaching. Because it's very easy, my brother, to have the wisdom of the Bible, the wisdom of the Bible, but not the deposit of the Bible. Do you understand me there? It's very easy to know the Bible by head, but it is not effective in your heart. And I want to encourage you this morning how grateful it is to desire the revelation of God's word in our lives. That foundation, that deposit of God's word to be rooted and established in us. That's why Paul in Galatians, are you there? Brother, can you read? I want you to read verse 11.
I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preach is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ.
Paul declares the gospel that he was preaching. What he was teaching. He says, it's not something I learned from men. But it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. He opened my eyes. What I bring to you, I don't bring to you my intelligence. I don't bring to you my knowledge. And as we read earlier in the morning, if we can go quickly again, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we had read it in the morning, where Paul once again declares his heart when he came to the church. We can hear he's telling the Galatians, what I preach to you is not something I learned from my mind. I don't bring the teachings of men, but I bring the revelation of Jesus Christ to your lives. And this is why I want to encourage every Bible reader here. When you read the Bible, you must cry to the Holy Spirit to reveal that word. And that's why this book is never old. You read Corinthians today, you read it tomorrow, it's too powerful. Because we must read the Bible in the spirit of revelation. And we must cry the Holy Spirit to reveal the word of God. If we just read the book like another book, because we have many books, let me tell you, we will have the wisdom of the Bible, but not the power of the Bible. And God is calling us, we may be men and women who carries the power of the word. Because the word of God is powerful. Powerful to change our lives. But if it is knowledge, don't worry, Jesus is not yet coming. If it is the word, if it is just the wisdom, if you read this book without the revelation of God, it's going to, you are not going to receive the power. And Paul writes to the Corinthians, and he says, and I, brethren, that is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 up to 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Note verse 5, that your faith should not stand on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Our faith must rest on the power of God. And I believe this is the word, this is the power that God wants to bring back to the church. If you study the book of Acts, you will see how the early church was powerful. It was powerful. It had influence. These men were arrested. These men were jailed, but they never compromised the word. And I want to encourage you, church, this morning. God is looking for men and women who will not compromise the word of God. Men who will desire this word of God to be clear in our hearts. That's why Paul did not want to teach the wisdom of men. He did not want to bring his intelligence to the minds of the people. But he wanted to bring the revelation of God's word in the life of men. And he says, when I came to you, I didn't know how to speak. I was not an orator. I came to you with simplicity. Let me tell you, it's not a time now to be complicated. It's a time to be simple, but strong on the word of God. That your faith should not stand on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. I want to tell you, today, the church has been so much electronized. Electronized, is that a good word? There's too much electronic. It's like the church, we are moving in an era of touching a button. And let me tell you something, Christianity is not touching a button. Christianity is lifestyle, is giving your life. But there's too much teachings. 20 steps, 5 steps, 90 steps. There's a lot of books, a lot of tapes, CDs, a lot. The church has a lot of information. The church, I tell you, there's a lot of materials, but the church is still weak. And this is why Paul is saying, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with my own intelligence. I did not come with wisdom of words. What did we say there? I did not come with wisdom of words, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything else apart Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The desire of the apostle was the church to remain and to stay on the preaching of the cross of Jesus. Today, the preaching of the cross of Christ is limited. The way of the cross, people are no more walking on that way. Remember, Jesus declared, if a man want to be my disciple, if a man want to follow me, he must deny himself, take up the cross, and follow Jesus. Today, the cross is out of the church. Today, that preaching of that gospel that has power to change the life of man is losing its power. But I want to tell you, I am blowing the trumpet this morning that Jesus, by his grace, he wants to bring back that power to the church. He wants to bring a revival. Christians have to be revived. The old path, we need to go back to the old path. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Hey, I want to hear Bibles open. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. I told you I'm not in a hurry. We want to hear the word of God. I am not here tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm gone. Jeremiah 6:16. Are you there, brother? Can you read somebody? Read the two verses, 16 and 17. The prophet is speaking about the path, the way. Where are you?
This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look.
Yes.
Ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. You will find rest for your soul. But you said, we will not walk in it. I appointed watchmen over you and said, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But you said, we will not listen.
The Lord is speaking. Brother, can you read yours? I saw you jump. You wanted to read. Read. Let's have two witnesses.
Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see. Ask for the old paths where the good way is. And walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Also, I said, watching over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen.
Listen to the voice of the trumpet. Seek and look for the old path and walk in it. There's a path God wants us to walk in. Are you here this morning? There's a path God wants us to walk in. There's a road God has put in front of us. Church is not our intelligence. It's not what we know in our mind. But what the Lord is doing in our hearts and lives. The power of the gospel is my lifestyle. It's not my knowledge. It's my lifestyle. Jesus said, they will know you by your fruits. When Jesus is working in me, when Jesus is living in me, I produce his savor. I produce his smell. Wherever I go, I don't need even to speak louder. People can smell Christ in me. People, you know when a woman applies some perfume, you don't need to ask anybody. They smell. The better the smell, you will tell by smell. When you are carrying Jesus in your life, when the word of God is written in your heart, when you have that deposit, when you are walking on that road, everybody will tell that brother is a Christian. That sister is walking on the right way. But today, you don't smell Christ to many people. You smell religion. You smell the wisdom of men. You smell the hand of men. And God is calling, seek ye the old path. Walk in it. Hear the voice of the trumpet, and you will save your souls. And I believe this morning, God is speaking to your heart. Where do you stand? Are you ready for the coming of Jesus? When checkups come, because they are coming, I tell you, checkups are coming. America will be shaken. Asia will be shaken. The church is going to be tested. Where are those men and women who are going to rise up and stand for the truth? Where are those people who will say we are not going to compromise our faith? Where are they? Where are those women and men who are ready to say to anybody, hey brother, I better die, but keep the faith? The word of God in Hebrews says, all those men died in faith, having not received the promises, but they could see them. They died confessing they were strangers. They died in faith. And I want to see a people, I want to see a church that is rising up and standing for the truth. It doesn't matter what Americans will say, but God is looking for an American who is going to rise up for the truth. We cannot compromise. The church needs to be holy. The church needs to be righteous. The church needs to show the way. Today, you hear there is people trying to divert the truth. But I want to encourage you, my brothers. Let's go back to the path. Let's go back to that path. Jesus said, it's narrow. I want to close by reading that scripture in the book of Matthew chapter 7. Then I will close. I can see some people yawning. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Jesus is so good. I love Jesus so much. Can you say I love Jesus? Can you say I love Jesus? Oh, I love this old man here. He looks on fire. Huh? Brother, let's love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Huh? It's time for life. You know, Pastor Dale, we are living in a time when people walk in the church, they feel the life of Christ. They feel life in this house. They smell. I wonder what people smell from you. I wonder, what do they smell, Jesus? Or do they smell hatred? Do they smell gossip? Gossip, is it a good word? Huh? Do they smell the world? What does people smell from you? You must ask yourself that question and you must answer yourself. That's why we are living in a serious time. And what I'm preaching today is not something that is so can bring some goosebumps or joy in your flesh. That's why if we preach this gospel, Pastor Dale, don't expect to have many friends. It's true. So I know I may make a few enemies here. But I want to tell you, you better be my enemy when I tell you the truth. Because I have blown the trumpet. And your blood will not be asked of me. And that's what Isaiah is saying. Blow the trumpet. Speak louder. That's what Ezekiel is saying. Tell them. Blow the trumpet. Speak louder. And I believe the voice of the Spirit is speaking loud this morning. And it is your time to keep your heart right. If you know somehow, somewhere, you slided or maybe something happened and your heart is not right, you better keep your heart right. It's time God is calling us to go back to that road. It's narrow. It's not wide. It's squeezing. You know, it's squeezing. It has problems. You are going to be tested. There are people who doesn't believe in temptations. There are people who doesn't believe in testing times. But the church in the book of Acts went through testing times. It went through cleansing. It went through shake-ups. They were beaten. They were jailed. They were persecuted. But the flag of Jesus was still on high. And I believe God is looking for people who will raise the flag when things are well and when things are not well. God is looking for those who will not compromise the truth. I will go back to Africa, but the word of God will stay in your heart. And this is your time to make a decision of your destiny. It's time for the truth. Church is about the truth. Church is not to compromise. Trying to, We cannot vote about men marrying men or women marrying women. Doesn't happen in the church. We know where we stand as a church. We know the morals of the gospel. We know what Jesus speaks about the last days. We know what Jesus says about our hearts. And it's time for us as believers to rise up and stand for the truth. Hey, pastor, if you speak louder, you will go to jail. I tell you, I don't care to go to jail if I tell you the truth. Jesus went to the cross. That's why we are free. Jesus was persecuted. That's why we are free. Jesus took the road. That's why, my brother, you are free. And he is saying, if you want to follow me, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Go back to that way, that road. It's narrow. Brother, did you read Matthew chapter 7? I'm waiting. Yes, there's a man there. Matthew chapter 7. What did you say? Yes. God is reminding you the way to enter in. Enter by the narrow gate. By the narrow gate. Is that what you read in your Bible? Maybe mine is an African Bible. Can you read yours? Enter ye by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many. There are many who walk by it. There are many. Many. In French they say beaucoup. There are many. Can you say beaucoup? That's French word. In Swahili we say wengi. Can you say wengi? Now you know Swahili. Many are those who walk in the broad way. You must ask yourself, which way am I walking on? That road, that wide road. You know, when we talk of the wide road, we talk of you doing what you want. We talk of the flesh, you know, doing whatever it likes. But in the narrow road, I don't do what I want. In the narrow road, I do what the Bible tells me to do. In the narrow road, I go according to the word of God. And it is time now for us to choose, do we want to go according to God's word, or do we want the wide gate? The wide gate, anybody do what he wants. If you want to marry 5 women, hallelujah. If you want, the wide gate releases you to do anything. But the narrow gate, can we all say the narrow gate? The narrow gate has its procedure. The narrow gate, you have to, the Lord says, in that narrow gate, the flesh has no place. In that narrow gate, the flesh is squeezed. In that narrow gate, I'm strained from many things. I have to die from many things. In the narrow gate, I know that my flesh is losing ground, but my heart is getting strong. But I have hope in my heart. Even if I'm tested today, even if I'm squeezed today, I have hope in my heart that I have a destiny. I have hope in my heart that I have a future. I have hope in my heart that if I die today, I'll be with the Lord. And this is why we need to desire to walk on that road. And I am calling you as a church, let us desire that path. Jeremiah says, seek for it. Look for it. It's not just something you find. You have to seek for it. But today, we don't have that road. Many people doesn't want to walk on it. They want the easier road, the easier way. That's why I said Christianity today is very simple. It's very, very easy. And you know, when we preach a cheap gospel, we have cheap believers. Huh? Cheap gospel produces cheap believers. But true gospel produces true men. True gospel produces true sons in the house. People who come to church to change. People who doesn't come to church because of what they can get. I don't go to church because of what I can get in the flesh, Kevin. I go to church because of what God can do in my heart. Yeah? As I said in the morning, there are people who go to church for coffee. Yeah? I like to go during coffee fellowship. I tell you. And yeah, if there's no coffee, I'm not coming. I tell you. You are a cheap believer of coffee. Are you a believer of coffee?
No.
God is looking for men. Without coffee, they serve Jesus. With the coffee, they serve Jesus. Can you say amen for that?
Amen.
Whether there is coffee, whether there is no coffee, you are still wanting to serve Jesus. Huh? I went to church somewhere, I don't know, somewhere in Ohio, somewhere, and I found a very furious believer. Come on, God, go to that church again. I will not go there because there's no parking. There's no parking. I tell you, when you are hungry for God, even if you come there and you don't find parking quickly, you will still have patience because you want to go to that house and hear the voice of God. You will, even if you will just park on the other side of the road, you will still do it and walk to the church. You know, in America, things are so easy. In Kenya, we walk, brother. We walk to church. We go. We suffer for Jesus. It's true. Someone can be walking for 10 miles to go to church. It's raining. No umbrella. Here you have the car. You have everything, electronic. Everything is easy. God is judging America. It's time for the church here to rise up. And I want to encourage you as I close. The road to God is narrow. Paul says in Philippians 1:27, "For it has been granted unto you not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." I hope that's what it says. Philippians 1:27. Can you confirm that? I don't want to think. I want to confirm. That's my last scripture. "For it has been granted unto you not only to believe in him." Are you there? Hey, where are you, my brother? Lead it quickly. We are closing the meeting. Huh? 29. Verse 29. Yes, thank you. Can you read? Where is that ready who said that? Come on, start and read. Okay. Read. Verse 29. Where are you? Okay.
"For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ."
Don't swallow words. Don't read slowly. Some of us, we want to hear clearly. Okay.
"For it has been granted to you."
Uh-huh.
"On behalf of Christ."
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Is that the word of God? Is that the word of God?
Yes.
"For it has been granted unto you not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." But one thing we have, brother, in the church, we have many believers. But we don't have many people who are ready to suffer for Christ. God is calling you to go back to the first love, the first zeal, the first desire, and rise up in your heart and do not compromise the gospel. We are living in the last days. Days of evil. False prophets, false teachings will rise up. But the church needs to rise up and stand for the truth. Let's pray together. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, your word is so powerful. We know that heaven and earth shall pass away, Lord. But your word will never fade. Your word remains powerful, remains the same. And Lord, we know that by your word, you are forming a strong church, a strong people. And this morning, I want to pray that a new desire, a new zeal, a new hunger come to the hearts of your people. I want to pray this morning in the name of Jesus that these men that have heard your word, let them just not be hearers, but let them be doers of your word. And I pray that by the Holy Spirit, you minister to your people this morning. By your Holy Spirit, touch lives this morning. Lord, let your word be clear. And those that are weak, make them strong. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't just want to call people here this morning, but I want to encourage you wherever you are. If you feel you need to be revived in your heart, if you are in this church this morning and you can feel in your spiritual walk something is not right, you can feel you want some adjustment in your walk with the Lord, you feel there's a go slow, you feel there's you need the hand of the Lord again, I want to pray with you this morning. And if you need prayer, I want to ask you, stand wherever you are. If you feel this morning you want a touch from God, you feel, Lord, touch me. Lord, revive me. Lord, I want to go back to the genuine faith. I want to go back to the way. I want, Father, to give my life to serve you. I ask you to stand wherever you are. And I will pray with you this morning. If you feel in your heart you need a prayer, brother, just stand. Don't allow the flesh to drag you. Just stand. We want to bring our lives before God. We want to pray. We want to trust the Holy Spirit. We want to believe God for a new revival in our hearts. We want to pray for a new intervention of God in our lives. We want to serve God in truth and in the Spirit. Maybe you have been working for the church. You are one of the ushers. Or maybe you are involved in one of the ministries in the church. But it's like you are drawing back. That zeal, that passion is fading away. And you need a prayer. I want to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I can't pray for the church. Too many. I want you to hold hands wherever you are. Just hold hands. Just hold the people that are standing. Hold hands. I want to pray. I want to pray. I don't want to call people here. You're too many. I want to believe God. God can touch you wherever you are. God can minister to you wherever you are. Just have faith in your heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, I bring these people before you today. They do not stand before men, but they stand before you. You know every need of every person here. Lord, come meet your people to the point of their needs. May you minister to the lives of these people. Revive them this morning. Let them feel the touch of the Holy Spirit. Let the move of God be tangible this morning. Lord Jesus, we want to hear good things that you have done in the lives of these men. Father, you are able. There is nothing impossible with you. And we stand in faith this morning that you are reviving your church. You are reviving your people, Lord. Those that have been backslidden, Lord, you are bringing them back to the fold. We thank you, God. Minister to your people. Lift up the hearts of your people today. Move in the lives of your people today. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I bless you. You are faithful and honest. You are the builder of your church. You are the owner of the church. Lord, touch your people this day. Touch your people this day. Those that are bound by issues and things, set them free. Those that are crying, those that their marriages are not working, Lord, heal those marriages this morning. Those that are walking in unforgiveness, Lord, may you touch their hearts this morning that they may be able to forgive. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for your move this morning, Lord. I give you all the praise. I give you all the praise. I give you all the glory. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you just thank God wherever you stand. Open up your heart and your mouth. Just tell him thank you, Lord. Just thank him. Just tell him thank you, Lord. Just love him this morning. He's a good God. Just love Jesus this morning. We love you, John. We love you, God. We love you, God. We love you, God. We love you, God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this man. Touch him this morning. Touch this man this day, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Restore him this morning. Oh, Lord. Bring back that desire, that zeal. Bring back that passion, Lord. What he has lost, let it come back. Thank you, Lord. We love you. I want to pray for a few workers here. As you stand, if you know that you are among the workers and you feel that you're not effective as you're supposed to be, I feel I want to pray for you. Why don't you come right here? If you are among the people who serve in this church and you feel that passion, that zeal that was there is not there, why allow me to pray with you? Come quickly if you're there. I want to pray with you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Just come. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And you feel, if you are here this morning and God has been calling you to the service, you have been hearing God's call, but you have been fighting it, it's time for you to respond. Where are you? You've been fighting that call. God has been calling you to serve, but there has been struggles. Brother, just come. Let's pray. Just come. Yes, come. You've been feeling you want to serve, but you've been fighting within you. Maybe fear or something. God wants to set you free this morning. Hallelujah. God bless these young people. God bless these young people. Yes, just come. Fear has to go. And we need to come to serve him and to respond unto that call. Can you just link up your hands together, we pray together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I want to pray for this man that God, the joy of serving you may come to their hearts. I want to pray that God, they feel your touch once more. I want to pray that the passion of Christ may come back again, Lord. I want to pray that they will not draw back, but they will rise up and serve you, Lord. Let every man take his place. Lord, bring back that zeal. Bring back that desire, that hunger, that thirst of serving you. Let it be born again in the hearts of these people. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that a miracle will happen in their lives, in their hearts. That they shall reach out, they will rise up, they will serve you, Lord. They will declare you are Lord. They will serve you in every capacity, Father. Thank you, Father. I bless them today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you are restoring this man. You are lifting up their hearts again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for these young people. They have come before.